Hi, I'm Chris Marie. I'm so glad you're listening. In conflict, do you ever walk on eggshells, avoid sharing your honest opinion, or even hesitate to say no? Well, no more. Susan and I created a Speak Up Kit just for you. It's an easy-to-use, proven step-by-step process to find your voice and reduce your stress. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speakup. Hi, my name is Chris Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And today we're going to talk about the difference between a cohesive team and a coherent team. Now, we've used the term cohesive team for many years, but we're now starting to move into the direction of coherent team. And we're going to talk about, one, how that shows up in the body, but then how it shows up in the organization and especially in the leadership team.
Now, we will say, as we said, a lot of this we've talked about in different ways, but we also just returned from a really powerful experience ourselves. We were in Cancun, Mexico, at Dr. Joe Dispenza Advanced Retreat and got introduced to his work. Well, we had been introduced to it before we went, but we really got immersed in it.
Yeah.
Yes. When I initially was getting ready to go to this workshop, I was hearing a lot about the thousands of people that would be at this workshop. And I could not really understand why somebody needed to have thousands of people to deliver their message. It seemed a little bit like it was going to be guru-like or a little narcissistic, whatever. I admit I had some judgments, but I also was enjoying the work I was doing with him in his books. But what really struck me was this piece of why he does it that way, because he had his scientists come on, and I know enough about clinical studies. You cannot do a clinical study without a certain number of people in that study. And it just so happens when you bring 2,000 people, and I think in our group it was 1,800.
Yeah.
When you bring 1,800 people together that are pretty much eating the same diet, living in the same location, doing the same meditations, you can use that for clinical study. And to actually confirm the science that this is how it's impacting the body. And that, I was just so excited to hear that. It's really not about everyone following Dr. Joe. Although there's those people that he's like, Dr. Joe, go. But he really wants it to be about, no, you understanding how you have this innate knowledge and ability within your own body and this understand that knowledge and the science behind it.
A lot of what Joe Dispenza, we've done episodes on breaking the habit of being yourself. You can check those out earlier in our series. His work is really about how stress breaks down the brain and the body. And part of what goes on when the body is under stress, the brain, and you know this, probably think about the last time you were stressed. How well were you thinking? Your brain actually starts to flood with adrenaline and cortisol. The areas in your brain become compartmentalized. And so the messages that come back from the body are and down from the brain are actually not really very able to be heard. So there's more like static. And so the cells don't go into regeneration and repair. And so the body breaks down into dis-ease. That's a really short form of it.
And you're talking about it related to stress, which of course is a big factor right now. But the reality of it is, we develop in such a way that we actually become pretty habituated pretty quickly in our lives. And the idea that we are only operating really with 5% of our consciousness, 95% of it is just habitual habits we've formed. And a lot of those habits have been developed to protect us, to allow us to stay safe. But we don't even realize how much we're operating in that pattern.
From a program. So 95% of our brain is running from subconscious programs. Some of those are good. That's how we learn to drive a car, brush our teeth, tie our shoes. Those are subconscious programs. But think about the patterns that you have around stress. I was just even talking to Susan this morning. We were taking a walk and I said, okay, here are my three new stressors. And it's like a conveyor belt. They just come down and I think, oh, when I get done with those, everything will be okay. But it's not. I'm having the same stress reaction. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can handle it. I feel all alone. Oh, will this work out okay? That's just a pattern, a habituated pattern, like you're saying, Susan, about how I've learned to deal with stress. And it's really from a very young brain state. Not if you listen to our interviews with Jill Bolte Taylor, my whole brain is not online. I am functioning from character two, which is my survival brain, and character one, who's getting control and not really very efficient or effective brain state.
And again, when our brain is compartmentalized and not coherent, the messages that get sent to the body are such that even our organ systems are dependent upon our brain giving messages that help those systems work together. But if that's not happening, and our immune system is on all the time, or we all sorts of signals start to go through the body, which then create disease.
It creates, I do. Because what happens is in that stress response, you're in adrenaline and cortisol. The brain is compartmentalized and the brain starts to get selfish. I'm not going to work with that part of the brain because we're all under survival. So the body doesn't ever come into a rest and digest, which is where long-term building projects start to happen, repair and healing. And there's a lot of breakdown. And I think there's one of the things that's great about Dr. Joe's retreats, there's 1,800 people that come. And so he does tons of scientific studies. He's got a great benchmark about how people are responding to this type of the effects of meditation on reducing stress. Yeah. And he has done, he's partnered with clinical scientists to study brain waves, study the microbiome, study all sorts of things that are happening. So there's a lot of great data that he's gathering on the effects of coming out of that stress state and how much the body starts to repair and heal itself. He also wrote, You Are the Placebo, and also You're Becoming Supernatural. So those are his books. Now, we are talking about it because the body breaks down when there's stress and incoherence. But we are often, while we coach individuals and we're helping them come out of their stress response, we also work with teams.
Really, the same thing is happening within an organization in many ways that is happening within the body. Now, in this case, in an organization, the brain of the organization would be that leadership team, the executive leadership team. And often we have found that a team of leaders can operate cohesively, but if they're operating cohesively under stress, that's like when the brain is under stress, and it may not be the healthiest message. As a matter of fact, when they're under stress, if they're not really conscious and aware of their behaviors and their unconscious patterns, they will actually create more incoherence, and a system, an organization will become more siloed, operate against agendas, more chaotic, and the health of the organization goes down.
Yeah, the trust breaks down. So one way of thinking about this, because Dr. Joe's work is really based on quantum theory. And so you think of cohesive, that's more like a particle. There's particle and wave, and it's very dense and matter focused. And coherence is more of a frequency. A human gets more coherent when their heart is open, and that immediate, as soon as their heart opens, their brain starts to get more coherent. And I know in business, you think we shouldn't open our hearts. That's, but really, we're a whole system, and bringing, you're at work so much of the day. Why wouldn't you bring your passion, your heart there? So opening your hearts and opening your brains creates more of that higher frequency that transmits through the organization with clarity.
I do want to say, I think we have learned enough already that when you have a good why, when you have a purpose, one of those things that opens the heart, it is a profound thing. And also the other thing that can happen is when you have gratitude and a sense of common humanity or inclusion in your business, you also have an open heart.
Yes, organizations that have a purpose that is affecting or helping other people in the world, definitely people's hearts can engage quite readily. And I also think one of the, in our work, we constantly talk about vulnerability and curiosity. And whenever we work with a team, one of the first things we do is we have them check in on something that helps them connect. We're not this concrete about it when we say it, but like they talk about themselves more personally. And what that does to a human being is it helps them drop into their heart and open and connect.
It's the vulnerability factor, which a lot of people are not comfortable with, but really is all about that heart-opening possibility, being willing to reveal yourself and come forward. And honestly, that connection can happen even if it's not in the highest frequency. But when you own up to something you've done, When you acknowledge it, that's the same process of opening your heart and allowing the what has been a dense, think about how dense you feel when you're angry and it's tight and everything's locked down. But when you really own up to maybe you're feeling shame or maybe you're feeling fear and doubt and you make that connection with other human beings, it's not so dense. That's actually beginning to turn it more into the frequency.
That's even why we suggest breathing is such a big part of the work when we're working with individuals, because that actually turns that stuck energy inside of you more into a wave that moves it through so you can connect and have new ideas. It all dovetails together so powerfully. And it's, but when you're defensive and trying to be right, that's that stuck energy and the team isn't going anywhere. But when you can drop in, own, I love that you said that, Susan, own a mistake, own where you are, all of a sudden things start to shift and move. And you're actually more energy goes right to your brain. They've proven. So this is the science behind Dr. Joe's work. As soon as you open your heart, it sends energy to the brain and more of your brain comes online. So basically, opening your heart makes you smarter, if you want to believe that, because that is, it is so powerful.
We like to kind of, yes, smarter, but I like the idea that it definitely makes you more curious. And curiosity is really our other major ingredient to new possibilities, to being more collaborative, to getting outside of what's familiar to something that's unknown, because that's going to be the only place that you're going to truly have innovation or deal with the problem differently than you have in the past.
That's what so often teams want to control the future, plan it, predict it. And that is a stress response when we can get control of things. And a lot of it is, sure, you do want to control things. You want to know you're going to be able to pay payroll down the road. But there's a certain level of that limits the new ideas, the innovation, the creativity, and the engagement of other people. If you're being so rigid and controlled, it's just a system and people don't have any space to breathe and move and create. And so that coherence is really allowing that frequency. And coherence, I just think of it, you can't see my hands necessarily, but they're making this movement like it's alive versus a cohesive is more the particle. Coherence is more the wave.
So one of the things that we suggest to you and to think about is as you're going through your day, see if you notice when why we often tell people to breathe is to pay more attention to where there is movement, flow, presence. Any of that is a sign that you're in more of that coherence versus in your more matter-like, dense energy. And the more you know how to tap into that and have a felt sense of it, the more you have choice and can actually use that energy and make it matter.
So one of the first things that you might want to start tracking is the energy. Become very familiar with your programs, your thoughts of stress and how it feels in the body and how you're behaving. Do you, oh my gosh, I can't do it. So you get really controlling and you boss people around and you feel like desperate. That's the stress response. So when you can start to notice, oh, this is my stress response, because a lot of people aren't even aware they're operating from a stress reaction and it's become like the new normal. But you really want to turn up your awareness of, oh, wait a minute, this is stress. And then you can actually make a conscious choice to, hey, how would I think? Who would I want to be? What are the thoughts? Hey, I can figure this out. We can do this. And then behave more in that coherence. I keep screwing up the words.
It's okay. That's how much show she's in the way. Now, and I will say that the key here is even things, like for me, I love to get up in the morning and exercise and do my routines. But if I'm just doing them out of strictly habit, that may not be the best thing. Even if it is, I got to do this. And again, reminding you, just take a moment. Really breathe, be aware and conscious while you're making the choices, even for your healthy habits, instead of just doing them habitually without noticing what's going on in my head. Because what I start to notice is I can say things like, I'm not going to have a good day unless I exercise. It's a pretty negative thought, probably not really that advanced versus wild life when I am engaged in running and taking the dogs out or whatever, very different energy. But I have to pay attention to which one am I habitually in.
And if you're on a team, start to notice if you are actually just diving into the business, getting things done, but coming really from, because you've gone from one Zoom meeting to another Zoom meeting, and you're really in that notice if you or your teammates seem in that stress response and interrupt it. Do something to shift the energy, because you're gonna have solutions that are much better. More of your whole brain is going to come online and everybody else's. And you're going to come up with ideas that you didn't even were like totally out of your focus until you dropped in and opened up more to new energy.
We hope you found this interesting. And of course, encourage you to check out the placebo book. What's the name of that?
You Are the Placebo, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, or Becoming Supernatural.
And that we'll probably share more as we go along. Okay.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. We know you're busy, and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We recorded the first 3 chapters of our book for you to listen to for free.
Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/FREESAMPLE.